Here are the WGXC headlines for Tuesday, February 21st. President Joe Biden made an unannounced visit to Ukraine on February 20th to meet with President Volodymyr Zelensky just before the one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion of the country. Russian President Vladimir Putin said his country would suspend participation in the nuclear arms control treaty START. Earthquakes were felt February 20th in Turkey, Syria, Jordan, Cyprus, Israel, and the area is still recovering from a massive quake 2 weeks ago. The Transportation Security Administration intercepted 6,542 guns last year at airport checkpoints across the country. That's about 18 per day, an all-time high for guns intercepted at U.S. airports. Albany International Airport issued an advisory February 19th that travelers should arrive 2 hours before their flights due to, quote, a significant increase in President's Week travel, unquote. The city of Kingston is contemplating a citywide composting program. New York State classifies Columbia County as a, quote, child care desert, unquote, and the Columbia paper has the first in a series on the story. Camptown, the remodeled former Carl's Rip Van Winkle Motor Lodge, is set to reopen with 50 rooms and a Mexican restaurant in Catskill March 1st. And snow and or freezing rain is expected locally twice this week as colder temperatures return to the area.
Hi, this is Karen Schomer, formerly of The Schomer Show. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You have tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned in during our pledge drive. It's our Please Assist Us in Transmission pledge drive. So we're asking for your help. Maybe it's a donation at wgxc.org/donate or 518-697-7400. Maybe you want to become a sustaining supporter, giving 17 cents a day, $5 a month, to make sure that creative community voices have a place on the public airwaves. Maybe you'd like to help out on those public airwaves and put your voice on the public airwaves. This is the Please Assist Us in Transmission pledge drive, and we want you to help either financially or with your voice. Do you have a specialty? Do you know all about agriculture and want to inform local residents about it? Do you have an interest in sports and want to do the WGXC sports report? You want to do restaurant reviews, film reviews, something? Think about how you'd like to contribute. What is your special area of knowledge and how you can share it with your community? That's what WGXC is all about, and we hope that you either contribute financially at wgxc.org/donate or become part of the station at WGXC. It is your station. Please use it at wgxc.org/donate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Raymond Pignon reports for Columbia Green Media that Greene County sales tax revenues rose 12% in January compared to a year before and 18.5% in Columbia County. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said, and I quote, "I point the finger at inflation. If we're all paying more, it's going to show an increase in the amount of sales tax we collect," end quote. Local sales tax collections in New York State increased by 9.2% in January over a year ago, according to a report released February 17th by New York State Comptroller Thomas P. DiNapoli. He said, and I quote, Consumer spending and a strong labor market have buoyed sales tax growth even as prices remain elevated. But local governments should budget cautiously as the growth may level off sooner than expected, end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Andrea Meckel reports in Porcupine Soup that Save-A-Lot Distribution Center in Coxsackie closes later this month with 30 employees out of work. State Senator Michelle Hinchey and Columbia Green Workforce New York are setting up a job fair for the unemployed workers. The distribution center has been open since 2003 in the Green Business and Technology Park along State Route 9W and once employed 105 people. Save-A-Lot is transitioning from a discount grocery store chain to a wholesale supplier for independently owned stores. Greene County Industrial Development Agency Executive Director April Ernst said she has already received several inquiries about the space. She said, and I quote, "I'm not sure if they're going to lease it or sell it, but it's not going to sit vacant for very long," end quote. She added, and I quote, "In Greene County, we do not have a lot of empty warehouses, so when leads do come in, this will be our only one," end quote. Read the full story in Porcupine Soup. The Troy Record reports that Representative Paul Tonko recently announced $20,403,104 in federal funding for transit agencies in the Capital Region. The money comes from the bipartisan infrastructure law and by congressional passage of the FY 2023 omnibus spending bill, which Tonko voted for. Tonko said, and I quote, "Every day in our Capital Region, public transit connects thousands of hardworking people to their jobs, their schools, their hospitals, and their communities as a whole," end quote. The Democrat represents Albany County and much of the rest of the Capital Region in the 20th Congressional District. Read more about this story in the Troy Record. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, February 21st. Local early morning temperatures range from 29 degrees in Scaticoke to 32 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 35. After a dusting of snow falls across the region this morning, we catch a break from 8 to noonish. Temperatures surpass freezing by 9 a.m. and we hit a high of 39 at 4 p.m. However, rain or snow or a mix returns around 1 p.m. depending on your location. The mix stops around 9 p.m. Then we see an overnight low of 26. Tomorrow, a dry morning and a high of 38 at 2 p.m. 3 p.m., rain and snow returns to the area and it turns most likely to snow and continues overnight. Then back to rain on Thursday, falling all day with a high of 39. Friday, the rain stops in the morning, and that's great because temperatures fall to 24 degrees by the end of the day. Sunset today will be at 5:20 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:39 a.m. Looking way up, we see yesterday's coronal mass ejection impact was pretty wimpy. However, the sun is active, with X-class flare chances still at 15%. Solar wind speed is currently 415 kilometers per second at 8.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair in only AM territory. Until dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 135. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate, who hope you can help us end these fund drives by becoming a sustaining supporter and one of my personal heroes. Just head on over to WGXE.org, and while you're checking out the local talent, consider hitting that donate button.
And then there's good news. Good evening. amazing media alive and well in the United States of America. So donate, WGXC.org, and there's a donate button, or you can be a sustaining member. I'm a sustaining member for $5 a month, and I've been a sustaining member for, I think, 5 or 6 years, and I'm so glad that I can be part of this amazing movement. Okay, that's it.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Remind us that freedom is priceless. It's worth fighting for as long as it takes. And that's how long we're going to be with you, Mr. President, for as long as it takes.
President Biden was in Kyiv on Monday, marking the near one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Biden said his administration would continue to send aid to Ukrainian forces. Another round of more than $500 million will begin soon. While relations between the U.S. and China weaken, China is now considering offering military aid to Moscow. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky suggested a world war could happen if China supports Russia. Back at home, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and Tennessee Representative David Kustoff are criticizing the Biden administration's decision to continue aiding Ukraine.
There's going to be tremendous pushback, both, I think, from the House and from the Senate, about additional expenditures for the Ukrainian effort.
Today, the Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in Gonzalez v. Google, what some are calling a landmark case that could bring serious changes and implications for internet law. The case argues tech companies should be legally responsible for the harmful content their algorithms promote. The case comes from a 2015 incident in which an ISIS gunman opened fire at a restaurant in Paris, killing Noemi Gonzalez, a U.S. exchange student. Utah Republican Governor Spencer Cox fired back at Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, who called for a national divorce among Republican and Democratic states, adding the lawmaker's tweet was evil.
We have to unify, and it's very important for us to do that because we have to prove to the American people that the Republican Party is the party that they can trust.
Greene has suggested a national divorce and shrinking the federal government before. Governor Cox countered the argument by tweeting he thought the United States needs marriage counseling and argued healthy conflict is a part of the nation's foundation. In an interview, New York Representative George Santos admitted to fabricating parts of his professional background and said he didn't think people would find out because he got away with them during his unsuccessful campaign in 2020.
Well, I've been a terrible liar on those subjects.
House Homeland Security Committee Chair Benny Thompson says House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has posed a potential security risk by giving Fox News' Tucker Carlson thousands of hours of riot footage from January 6th. Finally, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says he will not be pushed out of his position as some GOP leaders pursue impeachment and argue Mayorkas isn't doing enough to secure the border. Mayorkas calls the move a political stunt motivated by disagreement over policy. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our ATRUST indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Hey, how are you? You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. When we think redistricting, we generally think about our congressional, House, and Senate districts. But city and county districts are also reapportioned through redistricting and also increasingly gerrymandered. Citizens in California are fighting back. You'll remember that last year, Los Angeles City Council members were caught in an audio recording plotting to gerrymander safe districts for themselves instead of mapping for proper representation to the communities they serve. Independent news service CalMatters reports that some cities and counties have set up their own nonpartisan independent redistricting commissions to create fair maps for city councils, county commissions, and school boards. Currently, municipalities must seek the approval of the legislature to set up such a commission. That may change with proposed state legislation that would require municipalities of 300,000 citizens or larger to set up a 14-member independent commission to draw nonpartisan maps. A coalition of democracy groups recently issued a report showing widespread local gerrymandering, but significantly less of it in counties and cities with independent commissions. The cities of Long Beach, Sacramento, and San Francisco, and the county of Los Angeles have already set up commissions. Three more counties were approved to do so in 2022, and bills allowing the city of Los Angeles and additional counties have been filed for 2023. We have links to the article, legislation, and the California gerrymandering report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
All right, you are tuned into WGXC 90.7 FM. Heading into the break here, just a quick word about this pledge drive again. We gotta build our base of monthly sustaining donors. That can be you. Growing a community of sustaining supporters is quite significant to this station's longevity. And during this pledge drive, we're also looking to add some more local volunteer programmers to the schedule. So maybe you want to be a part of the community conversation here on 90.7 FM. Whether that's playing your favorite music, helping to report the news, interviewing your neighbors, discussing local issues, WGXE is a community radio station. And we're made up of the voices of the Hudson Valley. So if you live in Berkshire, Greene, Columbia, Albany, Rensselaer, Ulster, Dutchess County, you can be a part of WGXE. Give us a write info@wgxc.org if you want to start a conversation about joining as a volunteer programmer, or to make a recurring donation or a one-time gift. Check out wgxc.org/donate and pledge your support of Creative Community Radio for open ears, and assist us in transmitting these sounds over the airwaves.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and Philip Grant up in Rensselaer County and I are bringing you the WGXC Congressional Report, full of stories about what the candidates and representatives from the New York 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st Congressional Districts have been up to this past week. Go to WGXC.org in the WGXC Newsroom for complete coverage of your congressional representative. Raymond Pignone reports for Columbia Green Media that Representative Mark Molinaro has given the $1,000 campaign donation he got from Representative George Santos to the Southern Tier Veterans Support Group in Binghamton. Santos is under investigation and much criticism for an unusual amount of lies, even for a congressperson. So far, local Representative Elise Stefanik, a Republican who represents Rensselaer County and the rest of the 21st Congressional District, has kept the money Santos gave to her campaign. Molinaro and Democrat Pat Ryan have called for Santos to resign. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Republican Representative Mark Molinaro was appointed chair of the House Small Business Committee's Innovation, Entrepreneurship, and Workforce Development Subcommittee by House Small Business Committee Chairman Roger Williams, a Republican from Texas. The subcommittee works on growth for small businesses and the development of new technologies. Williams, in a press release, said that in his first week in Congress, Molinaro has, and I quote, shown promise in his ability to be a leader in this committee, end quote, and expects Molinaro will, and I quote, push forward pro-growth policies that will help our nation's small businesses, end quote. Molinaro said, and I quote, small businesses have an outsized impact in upstate New York, and I look forward to working on common sense policies that unleash the potential of local small businesses and create good paying jobs, end quote. Molinaro represents the 19th Congressional District, though he lives in the 18th District. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Republican Representative Mark Molinaro was appointed chair of the House Small Business Committee's Innovation, Entrepreneurship, and Workforce Development Subcommittee by House Small Business Committee Chairman Roger Williams, a Republican from Texas. The subcommittee works on growth for small businesses and the development of new technologies. Williams, in a press release, said that in his first week in Congress, Molinaro has, and I quote, shown promise in his ability to be a leader in this committee, end quote, and expects Molinaro will, and I quote, push forward pro-growth policies that will help our nation's small businesses, end quote. Molinaro said, and I quote, small businesses have an outsized impact in upstate New York, and I look forward to working on common sense policies that unleash the potential of local small businesses and create good paying jobs, end quote. Molinaro represents the 19th Congressional District, though he lives in the 18th District. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Mid-Hudson News report that Congressperson Pat Ryan, who represents the 18th Congressional District, has introduced his first bill, the Health Care Fairness for Military Families Act. Ryan himself, a military veteran, said, and I quote, it is not an accident that it is focused on supporting veterans and military families. Specifically, it gets at the issues of rising costs and rising health care costs that put so much pressure on families and military families, end quote. Children of military families get to extend the eligibility for health insurance coverage to 26 years of age under the legislation. Ryan was first elected in August to represent the 19th District and began representing the 18th District after winning the fall election in the 18th because of redistricting. Read the full story at Mid-Hudson News. Nick Reisman at New York State of Politics reports that former Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, now in Congress, on February 15th, formally endorsed former State Senator Sue Sereno to take his old job. Sereno announced her campaign earlier this year. Molinaro held the post from 2012 until January when he took over the 19th Congressional District seat. Molinaro said, and I quote, Sue will be a familiar face to county residents as someone who grew up here, represented Dutchess in the state senate, served as a county legislator, and operated a local business. Sue's track record of success as a public servant and business owner and independent approach to solving problems will make her a perfect fit to be Dutchess' next county executive.
Sue Sereno cares. She listens. She leads. She has my full support, end quote. Sereno lost last fall to Democrat State Senator Michelle Henchy in a redrawn Hudson Valley Senate district election between two incumbents. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics Reports. WXHC reports that the new 19th Congressional District Representative, Mark Molinaro, has been hosting town hall meetings in the western part of his district. On February 16th, he held a short town hall in Cortland County and another in Broome County. Molinaro said he plans to hold similar events in each county he represents. Molinaro said, and I quote, "Being able to get together with residents so that I can hear you and you can hear me. Questions, answers, comments in a respectful way, I think so very, very important," end quote. Read more about this story at WXHC.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information.
During this pledge drive, this is what we're doing, raising money for your community radio station, getting live airwaves, getting community radio to your ears with your support and help. Thank you so much for donating and for helping this community radio station, WGXC, and every little bit helps. So thank you for listening. And the easiest way to go is to wgxc.org/donate. And you can give us whatever you're able, and that'll help us through these next years of live community radio. Or you can call 518-697-7400. That is also an option for those of you who like to dial numbers. 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400. This is the Please Assist Us in Transmission pledge drive on WGXC. We do this every so often where we have to remind you that it is your financial contributions that help us keep going here on this community radio station. And to those of you who have already become monthly sustaining donors and signed up to keep it going, thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate it. And that is what allows us to pay the bills. And we are also looking for new programmers. We're always evolving. We have over 100 programmers of such a diverse backgrounds that just blast the awesomest, craziest, coolest shows to your ear live. And love it or hate it, doesn't matter. It's the diversity and the opportunity of people to be heard that I think is the most important thing of the democratic backbone of our free speech on the media airwaves in particular. So here we are, wgxc.org/donate or 518-697-7400.
Has not been raining for a while. Anaerobic bacterium. Systematically growing.
for the call. Waiting for the call.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that the Federal Bureau of Investigations has joined a criminal investigation into the New York State Troopers Police Benevolent Association. Last month, members of the State Police Special Investigations Unit executed search warrants at the PBA's Albany headquarters and nearby offices of the Signal 30 Benefit Fund and also seized a mobile phone of Thomas H. Munger, the PBA's former president. Munger stepped down as president last October. The union subcontracted some of its national work to a limited liability company formed by Munger, which is part of the investigation. Read more about this story in the Times Union. New York State of Politics reports that the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation is considering adding hundreds of toxic chemicals to a list of chemical hazards that could be found in toys. New York will also soon require that the manufacturers share which chemicals are in the toys on the UPC code. Bobby Wilding, executive director of the Clean Healthy Advocacy Group, said, and I quote, "This will actually give parents the information they will need when they're shopping," end quote. There is a public comment period on the chemicals open until March 20th. And you can read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Mid-Hudson News reports that the Storm King Arts Center is arguing that the attendants are actually security guards and should not be in the same union negotiating unit as the office personnel, according to Visitor Services Attendant Marquise Villanagra, a member of the organizing committee. Workers at Storm King, the large outdoor sculpture park in Orange County, are trying to join the Civil Service Employees Association. The efforts to unionize employees of the Storm King Art Center in Cornwall has been going on for over a year, and both sides are now waiting on a decision from the National Labor Relations Board. The CSEA union says the Art Center has retained the law firm of Zellman, Rothermel, Jacobs & Schess from New York City, and that the services listed on the firm's website include, and I quote, "preventative and union avoidance measures," end quote, as well as, and I quote, "responding to union organizing campaigns," end quote. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Jamal Cutler at Columbia Green Media reports that three Democrat candidates vying to win two seats as Columbia County judge this fall participated in a candidate forum on February 16th. Incumbent county judges Richard Kowiek and Jonathan Nichols are both not seeking re-election, leaving two rare open seats. But before that, Brian J. Herman of Copeg, Mark S. Porton of Ghent, and Michael C. Howard of Hudson compete in a primary election June 17th through June 27th. Howard spoke of a specific experience in the courtroom, and I quote, "I was the public defender assigned to the Hudson City Court when the Hudson police first got the grant to buy tasers. When it first happened, tasers were being used with a high degree of frequency and were usually applied to people that had the least ability to resist. I took two cases. I sued the Hudson Police Department, and I sued individual officers in two separate cases where I thought they exceeded their rights and their authority to use them. I was able to depose those officers. I was able to get their handbooks and documents. I was able to figure out it was all about money and funding, and it was a toy for the police to utilize. Because of the suit, the number of taser uses went down dramatically, and we rarely see taser use in the city of Hudson now, end quote. Porton, against town justice, said that judges are, and I quote, there for life-altering questions and life-altering situations having to do with some of the most serious, painstakingly intricate types of legal questions that come up and that people are affected by. I have a history and track record of understanding the impact of individuals who do not have the ability to hire lawyers or don't have the ability to afford counsel, in treating everyone fairly and equally, end quote. Herman said, and I quote, a judge who is sensitive and treats people with dignity and integrity elevates the whole environment of the courtroom. On the other hand, judges who are short-tempered, arrogant, and mean-spirited work against pursuing justice in the courtroom. I've seen judges that acted in inappropriate ways which subjected people to injustice in the courtroom, end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Tuesday, February 21st. And we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobil in Cairo has gas at $3.45 a gallon. That's the lowest price according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is just a 34. That is in the low range. The UV index is just a 1. That is also considered low. The water temperature in Albany in the Hudson River is almost at 39 degrees. And just about 36 degrees is the average on the past 10 years on February 21st. So we're about 3 degrees above normal. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a slight chance of snow before 1 p.m. on Tuesday. Then there could be rain and snow with a high of 38 and a wind from the south 5 to 10 miles per hour in the morning spinning local windmills. There's an 80% chance of precipitation today with less than a half an inch of snow expected. Tonight, there's a 30% chance of rain and snow before 7 p.m., then turning to all snow as the evening gets colder. Partly cloudy skies are forecast later with a low around 24 and a west wind 13 to 17 miles per hour for those windmills. Wednesday, again, a chance of snow, mainly after 4 p.m. It's a 30% chance with increasing clouds throughout the day and a high near 38. Northwest wind around 7 miles per hour. Wednesday night, rain, snow, freezing rain, sleet are all possible. And as it gets colder, there'll be chances of more cold precipitation. Low around 29 is expected Wednesday night, with a southeast wind 8 to 13 miles per hour and 100% chance of precipitation. 1 to 2 inches of snow is possible. Thursday, rain is in the forecast with a high of 38. Southeast wind 6 to 9 miles per hour. 80% chance of rain on Thursday. 60% chance of rain Thursday night before 4 a.m. with a low around 25. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. Lots of events in the WGXC community calendar this week. Go to the community calendar at WGXC.org to find out all kinds of things to do in person and virtually. On Tuesday, February 21st, there's a Narcan training at the Hudson Area Library. They hold these every third Tuesday of the month, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Wednesday, February 22nd, the Hudson Area Library Book Group meets. They're talking about The Book of Lost Friends by Lisa Wingate this month at 5 p.m. Wednesday, February 22nd. Thursday, February 23rd, Carolyn Bennett introduces the five Mondor brothers, residents of Prattsville, who fought in the Civil War, on a discussion at the Mountaintop Historical Society in Palinville at 6 p.m. Thursday, February 23rd. Same night at Tubby's in Kingston, Knife Play and the Hudson-based Babehoven perform. That's at 8 p.m. Thursday, February 23rd. Friday, February 24th, there's a vigil for the people of Ukraine at the Village of Chatham Gazebo at 5 p.m. Friday, February 24th, there's also a performance at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill of Nepathy and the Dirt Whisperers, two local jazz acts. The Firefighter Fran and Firestarter show is Saturday, February 25th at the Museum of Firefighting in Hudson. That's at 10:30 a.m. The 1,000 Feet show from the Saugerties Round the Bend Theater is at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill Saturday, February 25th at 7:30 p.m. And there are auditions for Shakespeare's As You Like It at the Doctora Center in Hunter at noon on Sunday, February 26th. Find out about these events and many more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Hey, it's Donegan again, being a nudge. This season's drive is called Please Assist Us in Transmission. It's named after a cool song often heard around the station. But it could just as easily be called the pledge drive to end all pledge drives. Because if we can welcome enough monthly sustaining supporters, WGXE will be able to put a stop to on-air fundraising. Like this. The result? More music,